Well, amen. Thank you so much for the music tonight. Just a closer walk with the grand old hymn of the faith. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I love Wednesday nights. I love being here. And of course, tonight I'm glad to be anywhere after last week. We were in Valdosta. Jeff Heath and I went down with Samaritan's Purse to help with storm cleanup down there. Had a wonderful week. In fact, during the course of the week, with all of our teams combined down there, there were 15 people who gave their lives to Christ. And so we're excited about that. And ever since Samaritan's Purse began operations in Valdosta earlier in the fall, there have been over 60 people who have prayed to receive Christ. So I'm so thankful for Samaritan's Purse and their commitment to the gospel. And I'm thankful that we are fully supporting them as a church. Now, one thing I'll add, while we were there on our team, we had one lady on our team. She was 78 years old, 78. And she's out there chunking trash with the rest of us, you know. And as the days wore on, I mean, I was getting tired, but I was not going to admit it with her around. So I have to really admire her. She was a sweet lady, and it was a joy to serve the Lord with her. If you have your Bibles, please open it with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 will be our text for tonight. We're going to talk this evening about why the rapture matters. Why the rapture matters. And of course, we are living in strange days, are we not? Things are getting very interesting on the world scene. And although there's a lot of conflict in our world, listen, we can be encouraged by the fact that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And He is working to bring all history to a close, to the perfect conclusion of His will. Now, things are not falling apart, beloved. They're falling together. Things are not falling apart, they're falling together. The next event on God's prophetic calendar is what we call the rapture of the church. So no doubt you've heard many messages and Bible studies related to this topic of the rapture. And world events today have certainly initiated a lot of discussion about the end times. And listen, the time clock of the return of Jesus is not based upon America's timeline. It's based upon what's happening in Israel. And the signs of the times are everywhere. And the Bible clearly points to that. And it's important that we know what we believe about these matters and be prepared to offer hope to a confused and messed up and broken world. You know, I don't know of any one topic that should be more exciting to the follower of Christ than that of the rapture. So I want us to talk about that this evening. Let's look together at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Paul is writing here and he says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest of those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, how? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." Now listen to this, verse 18. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I love that, don't you? Comfort one another with these words. You know, the context here centers around the Thessalonian believers who were concerned about the fate of Christians who died before Christ's second coming and the timing of the rapture and whether it had already happened. Apparently, there were false teachers teaching that the rapture had already occurred. And it also appears that there were those who were teaching a false view of death known as soul sleep. Now, soul sleep is a belief that after a person dies, his or her soul sleeps until the resurrection and final judgment. When a believer dies, his or her soul immediately goes to be in the presence of God. But when an unbeliever dies, his or her soul goes to eternal judgment. Now, there's a lot to be said about that particular topic, and we could spend a long time talking about it, but we're going to move on tonight. But it's important to note that Paul gained his understanding of the rapture by special revelation from God, which he called a mystery in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. So Paul shared this special revelation with the Thessalonians to address their concerns. Listen, isn't God good to give us keen insight into the future? Where would we be tonight if we had to gather around the coffins containing the remains of our loved ones with no hope of the future? But God in His kindness gives us insight, and it should bring joy to our hearts. So let's begin with, what is the rapture? What is the rapture? Well, in summary, the rapture is a coming event where all who have placed their faith in Christ, both living and dead, will suddenly be caught up from the earth to be joined with the Lord in the air and taken to heaven. The word rapture never appears in the Bible or even in our text, but its meaning is implied by the phrase caught up, caught up. So the Latin word rapto means to seize or to carry off, and from it we get our English word today, rapture. Now, many years ago, Dr. Kenneth Wiest wrote about the meanings of the phrase caught up, and he provides for us some keen insight into what that means. And so he gives us some illustrations here. To be caught up means to catch away speedily, to seize by force, to claim for oneself, or to move to a new place, or to rescue from danger. So as you can see, each of the meanings adds a special truth that gives us keen insight into the significance of the rapture. Now, all of these meanings point to a glorious day when millions of people will vanish instantly, resulting in mass chaos all over the globe. Now, can you just imagine for just a moment, you're sitting here and all of a sudden, you're not here anymore? Or what's worse is, you look around you and the people who were around you are no longer here, and you're sitting here by yourself. What about riding down I-75 and all of a sudden there's empty cars, no drivers in those cars, and those cars are careening off the highways? What about these airliners where the pilot has been raptured out of the cockpit? Imagine the chaos when government officials, and I do believe that there are some Christians in government, but just imagine when they're no longer there. Imagine the chaos that will take place. So except for those who know some Bible teaching, the world will wonder what in the world has happened to all of these people. And don't you know CNN and MSNBC, they'll be coming up with all kinds of answers to cover the truth of what's transpired. So to be clear, the rapture is not the same thing as the second coming of Christ. The rapture sets into motion the final events before the second coming. So the rapture and the return of Christ will be separated by 7 years of tribulation on this earth. Now, you think things are crazy in this world today. Today's world does not hold a candle to what's coming. But the purpose of the rapture, friends, listen to this. The purpose of the rapture, according to Revelation 3:10, is to rescue God's people from the horrors of the tribulation. Thank God we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. God will unleash His righteous anger upon those who have utterly rejected Him in this time of tribulation. But the righteous, both the living and the dead, will be called away to be with the Lord. The Ark of Noah is a beautiful illustration of the coming end time events. And just as the Ark delivered the righteous from judgment, those of us who are in the Ark of Christ will be delivered from the coming wrath. And so, friends, listen, Jesus will deliver us from judgment just as the Ark did for Noah. And by the way, if you have never taken the trip to Kentucky to see the Ark, you need to make a special trip. Denise and I went a few years ago, and man, it was like revival time in my life, just walking through it. Reading scripture as we went along. But boy, it is a powerful experience, and I certainly highly recommend it to you. Thank God for the Ark. But more importantly, thank God for the Ark of Jesus. Amen? So let's look at three reasons the rapture could happen today. Three reasons the rapture could happen today. First of all, the rapture requires no sign. It requires no signs. So unlike the second coming of Christ, there will be no signs that precede the rapture. So this is what we call the doctrine of imminency. So this means the rapture is imminent. It could happen in any moment. Even before we conclude this service tonight, we could be raptured out of here, gone. So if you're looking for a sign, your sign will be a sudden disappearance. We're going to be gone. And so it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow, or it could happen many years from now. But without warning, Jesus will rapture His redeemed people out of this sin-cursed, messed-up world to take them to heaven, where we will be with Him forever and reunited with our redeemed loved ones who have gone before us. Man, that ought to make a Baptist want to shout, amen? So what does this mean for you and for me? Well, if anything, listen, it means you and I need to be prepared. We ought to be prepared. We must live prepared lives. We must be ready to meet our Savior at any moment, because it can happen just like that. So the rapture requires no signs. But secondly, the rapture is a surprise event. The rapture is a surprise event. Many people through the years have tried to predict the date for the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Oh boy, I remember as a kid, my family and I attended First Baptist Church of Cairo, Georgia. And I can remember one Sunday night going to Training Union, that's what we called it back then. Y'all remember that? Went to Training Union one Sunday night. So I was meeting with my little, you know, children's group or student group, I guess it was. And so our teacher that night had a video or a tape they wanted us to listen to. And so it was this preacher from who knows where talking about the date of Jesus's second coming. And he got so specific that he named the date. In fact, it was August the 3rd, 1976. So we were all freaking out because August the 3rd was coming real close. And so after church that night, boy, I was at home telling my mom and dad, we better get packed up and ready to go because Jesus is coming on August the 3rd. And my dad looked at me like a mule staring at a new gate. He didn't know what in the world I was talking about. And so I told him, listen, I heard it from the official preacher tonight that Jesus is coming on August the 3rd. And so my dad had the wisdom enough to sit down with me and explain to me, there's no way we can know that. And that's the truth. But you know what? it does beg the question, if we knew Jesus was coming 3 weeks from now, how differently would we live? Right? If we knew Jesus was coming, how would that impact your daily life between now and then? You know, Jesus' words in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39, should be taken literally. And what he said there is that no one, including himself, the angels, or any other created being, knows the time of his return. Only God the Father knows the time of Jesus' return. So it's pointless to try to speculate or guess when Jesus is coming. So not knowing when Jesus will come for his church should cause us to be ready at all times. In fact, that is the theme of Matthew. In the later chapters, over and over again, we hear this message of be ready, be ready. So we need to take Jesus at his word and be ready every day. When we get up in the morning, we need to report for duty and say, here I am, Lord, I'm eager to serve you. Because the rapture is a surprise event. But also I want to say to you that the rapture is a sudden event. A sudden event. In 1 Corinthians 15, 52, Paul wrote that the rapture will take place, listen, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I love that. I keep a picture of my mother's grave on my phone, and periodically I'll pull it out and look at it. And my mind goes back to this very verse. And I'm filled with hope because I know one day that grave will burst open just like that. And my mother will be raised perfectly. And you know what? I'm going to be raised with her. And just like you, those of you who are in Christ and your family members who died in Christ, they're going to be raised to go be with the Lord. But the word twinkling here refers to the amount of time it takes for light traveling at 186,000 miles per second to be reflected on the retina of one's eye. So in less than a nanosecond, the Lord will call all believers, both living and dead, to himself. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Paul writes, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, how? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And throughout my life, I have read that over and over and over. And when I read that, I'm filled with so much joy and anticipation of knowing that day is coming. But what does that look like? What does it sound like? Dr. David Jeremiah writes about this concerning the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet sound. Here's what he said. These are not three distinct sounds, but one sound described in three different ways. This sound will be like a shout ringing with commanding authority, like the voice of the archangel. It will also be like the blare of a trumpet in its volume and clarity. And the sound will be heard, listen, only by those who have trusted Christ as Savior. When Lazarus died and was laid in the tomb, it was Jesus who came to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Had Jesus not said Lazarus, every dead person in the world would have raised from the dead. So he said Lazarus. So his shout of come forth at the rapture will not name a single individual, but will be heard by every believer in every grave around the world. And at the moment of the rapture, God's people from every era, The disciples, the martyrs across the ages, your godly ancestors, and many more will rise from their graves. If you've ever been to a funeral and observed a casket containing the remains of a friend or family member, it can bring feelings of hopelessness and despair. I've had the opportunity to preach many funerals, and when I conduct the graveside service for a believer, I love to use this text we just read tonight because it's so appropriate to give hope to a family that is brokenhearted. But friends, here's what I want you to see. The casket may speak of finality. The casket may say, this is the end. But listen to me. The casket does not have the final word. Jesus does. Jesus does. So this is why Paul could say in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Does that do anything for you? Listen, there is coming a day when those who have died in Christ will suddenly be raised to meet the Lord in the air, and those of us who are alive at that moment will be raised with Him, and we will all go to be with the Lord. And all the brokenness, the sadness, the sorrow, the suffering, the grief, the pain of this world will be forever gone. But we will enjoy the bliss of heaven with our blessed Savior forever. So four ways the rapture should impact our lives today. And this is the nitty-gritty of why I wanted to share this message with you tonight. In light of what we're seeing in our world today, I feel it's more urgent than ever that Christians wise up and get serious about their faith. Well, there's four things I want us to see as we look at our world today. Four ways the rapture should impact our lives today. First of all, listen, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Later in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes in verses 2 through 6, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming, just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. What a message to the church today. We need to be alert and sober. Paul is saying that the world is going to be caught by surprise and completely unprepared for the day of the Lord. Now, the phrase day of the Lord is a generic reference for the final events on planet Earth. It's the time when God will judge the world and punish the nations. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, Jeremiah refers to this period of time as the time of Jacob's trouble. Man has had his day, but now God is going to have His. While the world is unprepared, celebrating false peace, the believer should not be. Paul is saying, wake up. His coming is like a thief in the night. Dear child of God, do not get caught napping. Do not get caught napping. We need to wake up, recognizing that Jesus could come at any time, and be prepared for His return. We need to wake up. But secondly, we need to preach up. We need to preach up. Tonight we find comfort in knowing our future as believers. And thank God we will not have to endure the tribulation period. But listen, what about the unbeliever? What about the unbeliever? What about your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, those who are outside of Christ? Listen, the rapture will not be a joyous occasion for them. They will be ushered into a period of absolute horror on this earth. As horrible as our world is today, again, it does not compare to what's to come. There will be unspeakable suffering on this planet. So our job as followers of Jesus is to make Jesus known now, while there is time. We cannot be silent Christians anymore, but we must be bold with our faith to tell people about Jesus Christ. Our job is to help people miss hell and make heaven. I'm so glad that the gospel will still preach today. The gospel is still making dead men alive. The Great Commission gives us our marching orders for today. So we need to make much of Jesus in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our church, and in our world. So listen, Jesus is the only way we will escape the wrath to come. So we must preach up. All of us must preach up for the cause of Christ. But thirdly, we need to grow up. We need to grow up. Knowing that the rapture can happen at any time, you and I should be motivated to grow in our faith. In the book of 2 Peter, Peter outlines more vivid details of the end times, including the new heaven and the new earth. However, listen, he concludes his amazing letter with this admonition to his readers in chapter 3, verse 18. Here's what he says: "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So listen, friends, in light of the imminent return of Christ and in light of the rapture, it's important that we seek to grow in our faith. Growth negates doubt. Growth overcomes doubts and fears and unbelief and carnality and worldliness. As we keep our eyes on Jesus and determine to follow our great shepherd through these uncertain days in which we live, we will grow in our faith. And friends, that's the reason I love D-Life. I love pouring my life into making disciples. That's why making disciples is so urgent today. Friends, we cannot be content with just a few additions here or there. We must be multiplying disciples. Stop playing games. We need to multiply. Because Jesus is coming. Perhaps sooner than we think. So more than ever, we need to get people in the Word of God. Christians need to be able to share hope with a world that is spiraling deeper into darkness. So church, I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to grow up. Grow up. But lastly, I want to submit to you, we need to clean up. We need to clean up. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to what? Purify for himself a people for his own possession, eager for good deeds." So what's Paul's message to us? We as Christians are to live lives that are clearly distinguishable from the rest of the world. When a non-believer looks at our lives, they know that there is something uniquely different about us. And as we are filled with the Spirit of God and we manifest the fruit of the Spirit, it will cause them to want to have what we have in Jesus. So it's important that we grow up and we clean up. In light of the imminent rapture of the church, it's important that we live holy lives and reject the evil enticements of the world. Listen, if you do not wish to slip and fall, stay out of slippery places. Amen? So why does the rapture matter? Because it can happen in any moment. Any moment. Because the rapture is imminent, we should wake up, we should preach up, we should grow up, and we should clean up. Friends, may that be true of you, and may that be true of me. Jesus is coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are so gracious and kind to give us hope for the future. Thank you, Lord, for the rapture. Thank you for the hope, the blessed hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that in your mercy we will escape the horrors of the tribulation so that we might be with you. And though we may not live long enough to even be part of the rapture, we thank you that because we are in Christ, we will go to be with you instantly when we take our last breath. So God, thank you for the blessed hope. But Lord, all around us are people who are lost and undone without Jesus. And they have no idea that they are under the wrath of God. Oh Lord, may we be urgent with the message of the gospel. May we share with those around us the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, I pray that Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church will be a lighthouse on the hill where people will look to find hope and help and healing. Lord, thank you for those gathered here tonight. Dismiss us with your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.